I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense. What's changed today is the election's over, and the Democrats won.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Happy post-election day. Hope you had all sorts of fun and frivolity today. I noticed today that I felt like a weight was coming off my back or chest. It was rainy here in Atlanta for the first part of the day, but it was a glorious rain all of a sudden. Oh, and there are two suicide watches out there tonight, Fox News and John McCain. Remember, McCain said he would commit suicide, so keep an eye on both those organizations, and McCain is an organization. And good riddance to numbskull, rumskull, you murderous old bastard, good riddance to you. Now, if the Democrats, well, we'll get into this later, but he can still be subpoenaed. He can still be forced to tell the truth. Even though I know the timing of the rummy ouster had to do with Karl Rove's plot to try to control, this crazy bastard continued to try to control the news cycle today, keep the Democratic victories off your TV screens. It didn't work. The Rumsfeld sideshow was comic relief. The big news is the Democrats control both the House and the Senate, period. End of story for the time being. The press conference today, both of them illustrated the major league flip-flopping by this liar-in-chief, the decider, as he likes to call himself, who decided he'd rather not get good advice from this advisor from whom he got advice and advises him and would listen, or something like that. And simply put, there are known knowns and things you know or shouldn't know, and we all know it's past time for Remy to go. Shows what a good thumping at the polls will do, huh? We will have sound for you tonight from Bush's two press conferences today. You want to stick around. Already, the caterwauling and the screaming and the pleading and the whining for compromise? Right? Have you noticed that? That was the big word today. Big, big, big word, big phrase. Compromise, reaching across the aisle, civility. Too bad this is not satellite radio, where I could editorialize in a more open way about that call. Now that the Democrats have taken control of both houses of Congress, the Republicans and the political pundits and even the Democratic leadership, everybody's calling for civility and reaching out to the Republicans. Are they serious? This is astonishing. After 6 years of Bush in power, and 12 years of these filthy dogs in the Republican Party completely ignoring the Democratic Party, completely, no, nothing, reaching out my ass, there was nothing ever. And the Republicans disrespecting Democrats to a degree unheard of in our political system, and now comes this whiny call for bipartisanship? What, Democrats now are to forget the humiliation, the gutting of the Constitution? The rush to unprovoked war, the lies, the deception, the theft of election after election, the unstopped political corruption by this Republican Party, and now the Dems are to reach out? To forgive and forget? To work with these pigs? To rise above what Republicans call, well, it's petty political partisanship. That's when the other party is asserting control, right, Republicans? Please. And these television news reporters who are choking on their own hypocrisy is astonishing. I've been watching CNN's Andrea Koppel. She's among the worst that are not associated with Fox, of course. And everybody at Fox is on suicide watch. Andrea Koppel could barely conceal her utter contempt for the Democratic victory. That little sneer that she is so good at dropping on sentence after sentence when it has to do with Democrats is getting a bit tiresome, Andrea. Why don't you go to work for Fox, where you belong? And the call for Virginia's now ex-Senator Allen to continue to resist admitting his defeat was dumbfounding. Remember the Republican bully boys, the brown shirts who rushed the polling places in Florida to interrupt a legitimate recount? Remember the screams from Republicans for the Democrats to sit down and shut up and accept their defeat? Remember, the public has spoken. Remember? And now Allen doesn't have the decency to do the same, and a recount of Virginia doesn't mean anything. 80% of the votes in that state are electronic. There's no paper trail. Nobody knows what's real and what isn't real. Get the hell out of town, Allen, you racist pig. Your history. And the pig man. Oh, the pig man. Limbaugh.
Conservatism won yesterday, not the Democrats. Not a desire of the majority of Americans to get away from war and death and corruption. No. The pig man.
He's going to tell you the honest truth. Yes, he will. You see, yesterday's repudiation of neo-Nazism, yesterday's affirmation of the rule of law, not the rule of a stupid, illiterate megalomaniac like Bush and his crime family, all of what happened yesterday, according to the pig man, was merely a victory for real conservatism. And the pig man on his website today says he's tired, so tired of his term, carrying water for the ungrateful Republicans. Pigman, this election was not about you, you evil old bastard. Go away, your history. You were funny 15 years ago. You're a boil on the ass of America now. Go away. Pigman's tired of carrying water. Oh, remember how grateful he was in 1994 when Newt and the boys made him an honorary member of that Congress because his lies and distortions brought the Republicans to power finally after 40 years to begin with? What did he say today? Where's the quote?
People have been asking me all night, all day, how do you feel, Rush? Well, I feel liberated, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to carry the water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried.
And what did he say, I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago when Air America went into bankruptcy, he said Air America was not a real network, it was only set up to influence elections. Okay, pig man, mission accomplished, you lard ass! You betcha that's the only reason we were set up. And we did it! And then they fired me, but you know.
No, it's not. It's not about you, Malloy. It's about me. I'm the pig man. It's not about you. How many stations are you on now? 3? Christ, I'm on 900.
Really? And Rumsfeld's resignation, the ultimate cut and run? So typically, Republican, how do you think the people wearing the uniform of the United States military in Iraq, in the cesspool, blood-soaked war zone that these bastards created, how do you think they know, they feel tonight knowing that Rumsfeld cut and run, you filthy coward? You did it again, didn't you, Rumsfeld? And Bush. What's to say about the ultimate flip-flopper? You liar. Everyone knew you were a liar. We're going to demonstrate his lie about Rumsfeld a little bit later tonight in the sound bites. But these people make me sick. Compromise? And Bush at his press conference today, he suddenly claims he's looking for common ground? Cooperation? He's looking forward to working with the Democratic leadership? Really? When did that happen, chuckle nuts? When did you ever want cooperation from the Democrats? You were telling people not more than 72 hours ago that a vote for Democrats would be a vote for a terrorist. You son of a bitch. You're a dictator. You're a little tyrant. You have no interest in so-called cooperation. You issue orders, chuckle nuts, not suggestions, not ideas to work together to common ground. Get out of town with your phony we're looking at common ground crap. Who are you trying to kid, Bush? You cowardly little monkey hanging up there on the podium today, looking like somebody just cut your zipper out of your pants and your thingy's hanging out. compromise, reaching out. 12 years of this. How many? What do you want? Frist. Think about Frist over the past 12 years. Think about Tom DeLay, that evil little snake who was on CNN tonight saying, well, the Democrats didn't win, the Republicans lost. Who in the hell cares, Paula Zahn, what Tom DeLay says? He belongs in jail. Think of the names over the past 12 years. Dennis Hastert, Duke Cunningham, Tom DeLay. It just goes on and on, these filthy, corrupt Republicans, and now they're talking about reaching out, that the Democrats have got to prove themselves. No, the Democrats have to hand you your ass in 08 again and again and again and put you snakes in your place. You don't know how to lead, you little whiny-ass schoolyard bullies. No wonder they call the Republicans the daddy party. Not one of you, not one of you can stand on your hind legs like a man. And I'm referring to the women, too. I've got more to say after this break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to play some of the sound, and then we're going to take your comments tonight. I'm going to get this off my chest, and then I want to hear what you folks have to say, and we'll do it for 2.5 hours tonight. I don't care. I'm so sick of these pigs. Compromise. Yeah, I got your compromise. From the bowels of Adolf Hitler comes the voice of Rush Limbaugh. In closing, let me say that each and every day, I'm an evil, rotten, egotistical snob. Evil, rotten. I'm the cop of Joe McCarthy-like Gestapo, the right-wing, foam-of-the-mouth, jack-booted slob, the democratic trashing, years of liberal bashing with the equivalent compassion of a grommet.
Hey, neocons, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-two past the hour. Yeah, the only reaching out that should be done right now would be to slap a subpoena in the hands of some of these pigs. They have ripped our country to pieces. I mean, I don't have the time or the inclination to go down the list of what these unconscionable bastard Republicans have done to this country since 1994. It is just unbelievable. Reach out? Compromise? Compromise with Satan? Compromise with the devil? When did these evil Republicans ever compromise with Democrats? Remember the nuclear option, quote-quote? Well, if you guys exercise your right to filibuster, then we're going to change the rules. How many times did these evil, evil Republicans threaten to change the rules, threaten to eliminate any kind of Democratic Party politician participation in anything that went on in the legislative branch? And now you evil schmucks are asking us for compromise and reach out and let's all get along and sing Kumbaya? I got two words for you, and I can't say them on this radio network. Republican politicians and their enablers out there in Republicanville, which is more and more becoming only the southern United States, they need to learn a few things before the American public allows them to assume any sort of significant power again, if that ever happens. First, learn how to conduct yourselves in a civil manner, you evil bastards, when you're allowed to participate in the running of the government. Second, learn how to respect your fellow politicians, the Democrats. They've had far more experience bringing decency and justice and security to this country than you Republicans ever have. And don't even talk to me about Abraham Lincoln. And learn what the Constitution says about the balance of power. We're a democratic republic, you jackasses, not a dictatorship. And get some manners. You say you're the party of the grown-ups, the responsibility party, and on, then act like it instead of the whiny, petulant bullies you have shown yourselves to be. And stop trying to divide the people of this country along the fault lines of fear and bigotry and envy and greed, you evil bastards. You all should be ashamed of what you've done in ripping the social fabric of this country to shreds over the last 12 years. Your anti-gay stance is sickening. Your tax the working class, give the rich tax bonus after tax bonus is shameful. Your disrespect for the military is legendary. Your snotty superior attitude is disgusting. Compromise? Reaching out? You reach out to me and you're liable to find in your hand a live hand grenade. So even with the Republicans' usual theft of votes, and they're denying certain Americans the right to vote when they showed up at the polls, and their filthy negative campaign ads, and their lies, and their immorality, and their hypocrisy, and their apparent hatred of our laws and institutions, even with all that, or because of all that, the voting public last night told these creepy bastards to take a hike, get out of town, go away. It's about damn time. Reach out.
Well, we're hoping that our people across the aisle will be nice to us. We need to cooperate.
And Bush standing up there today was anything more disgusting, more wimpy, more cowardly. All of a sudden, the emperor standing there naked. Naked! And there's a long way to go, a long, long way to go. But this was a beginning. Last night was a major beginning in cleaning up the filthy mess these people have created. More on Sounds from the Flip Flopper when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
You miserable little twit. Do you remember a couple of years ago when what did I do with it? I've got it here somewhere. When the Republican leadership in the House Ways and Means Committee called the police because the Democrats had been handed, Simon in the UK just sent this to me, the Democrats had been handed legislation they were supposed to vote on. They were handed it in the morning. They were supposed to vote in the afternoon. The Republicans had had the legislation for weeks. That was another filthy trick that the Republicans would never do. They wouldn't even let the Democrats see what the hell it is that they were supposed to vote on. They were petty sons of bitches. And the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi was the minority leader then, and they said, no, we're not going to vote on this. And they all got up and left and went to the back of the room to sit there and try to figure out what the legislation was. And at that point, the head of that committee, the Republican, I'm drawing a blank on his name. I'll have it in a second. Don't email it to me. He calls the Capitol Police. And the Capitol Police said, get over yourself. You're supposed to be members of Congress. Work it out. And these are the people that we're supposed to reach out to now and extend the hand of Christian fellowship. Oh, you can't be serious. Oh, I'm sure the Democrats will try to do that. Let's do some sound. Chuckle Nuts. Chuckle Nuts today at his first press conference. announcing the murderous ghoul Donald Rumsfeld's resignation. Is it amazing how the Rovian machine can change the stories on a news cycle on a moment's notice? Not that I mind, Rumskull's resignation, but for a while it knocked the victory for Democrats story off the lead news, but it came back. Here's the first major flip-flop of the day from Raisin Brain's opening remarks.
Wow, the glum faces. I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election, and as the head of the Republican Party, I share a large part of the responsibility. The election has changed many things in Washington, but it has not changed my fundamental responsibility, and that is to protect the American people from attack. As the Commander-in-Chief, I take these responsibilities seriously. And so does the man who served this nation honorably for almost 6 years as our Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. Now, after a series of thoughtful conversations, Secretary Rumsfeld and I agreed that the timing is right for new leadership at the Pentagon.
Yeah. After a series of thoughtful conversations, the Secretary and I have agreed. Can you imagine Rumsfeld summonsing, Rove, summonsing Rumsfeld into the room, and Chucklenuts is sitting there playing his Game Boy, and Rove says, you're out of here. You're out of here. We may lose the presidency in 08. You're out of here. And Rumsfeld's sitting there going, but I still have more Iraqis to kill. Evil bastard. Oh, my God. What did he say? I share a large part of the responsibility because of the outcome. Don't say that, Chucklenuts. The earth might tilt off its axis and the sky turn to sackcloth if you admit a possible mistake, you arrogant man. So what about this massive flip-flop? Just a week ago, Bush was singing Rumsferatu's praises. Now he's tossed aside like the sack of garbage that he is. This from the crew, the Republicans, who say they never pay attention to the polls. And they don't make decisions based on what the voters want. Oh, really? Oh, then I guess all of America, no, the entire world is hallucinating. We must have done drugs overnight. Every single person paying any attention to this, right, Chucklenuts? So he goes on and on, and then finally the reporters begin to ask questions about the lies Bush keeps telling. This time they're asking about the whopper he spotted last Wednesday about keeping rummy no matter what. Reporter says, last week you told us that Secretary Rumsfeld would be staying on. Why is the timing right now for this, and how much does it have to do with the election results? Now listen, as Bush admits, he lied. He made a political lie about the defense of this country that he's always going on about, and absolutely left our soldiers in Iraq totally in the lurch. Listen to him.
Right. You and Hunt and Kyle came into Oval Office, and Hunt asked me the question in 1 week before the campaign. And basically, is you're going to do something about Rumsfeld and the vice president? And my answer was, they're going to stay on. And the reason why is I didn't want to inject a major decision about this war in the final days of a campaign. And so the only way to answer that question and to get you on to another question was to give you that answer.
You misleading, lying creep. The reason why is I didn't want to inject a major decision about this war in the final days of a campaign. So he lied.
And so the only way to answer that question was, and to get you going to another question, was to give you that answer.
What did they impeach Clinton for? Oh, that's right. He lied about his little sexual escapade with somebody. I don't know. Bush continues to stammer out a rationalization for lying to reporters and the American people about his intention to keep Romney after the election. I love this excuse. He lied because he thought the neocons would win yesterday. That's why I lied. So Rumsfeld is only bad if Americans vote for Democrats. And this creep Bush is so out of touch with the people he supposedly governs that he thought neocons would win yesterday.
He actually thought every single poll in the country told him, guess what, George? It's over.
So wrong on so many levels, you idiot.
I have been talking with Don Rumsfeld over a period of time about fresh perspective. He likes to call it fresh eyes.
What?
He himself understands that Iraq is not working well enough, fast enough. And he and I are constantly assessing, and I'm assessing as well all the time by myself.
Oh.
About do we have the right people in the right place? Are we the right strategy? As you know, we're constantly changing tactics.
Like what?
And that requires constant assessment.
Uh-huh.
And so the decision was made. Actually, I thought we were going to do fine yesterday. Shows what I know. But I thought we were going to be fine in the election.
Do you like that bit? And he and I are constantly assessing, and I'm assessing as well, all the time, all by myself. I sit there and assess. I'm assessing right now. But I thought we were going to be fine in the election. So let me get this straight then, Chuckle Nuts. What you were going to do is just keep the killing in Iraq going. Keep murdering American service men and women. Keep murdering Iraqi civilians. Keep Rummy in place. Keep lying and stealing. But damn them, the Democratic voters just kept going to the polls and voting. Oh, the evil Democrats. And the lies and misleading statements continue to be revealed as when this reporter asks why Bush is backing off his allegations. The Democrats want to see the terrorists win in Iraq. What different? What's different today from when he and Sugar Lips, Liddy Dole, and the other neocon minions made those outrageous allegations? Oh, the Democrats want to see the terrorists win. You evil son of a bitch. So the reporter says,
you said you're interested in changing the tone, but just a few days before this election in Texas, you said the Democrats, no matter how they put it, their approach to Iraq comes down to terrorists win, America loses. What has changed today, Mr. President?
What's changed today is the election's over, and the Democrats won.
Uh-huh.
And now we're going to work together for 2 years to accomplish big objectives for the country.
What?! So what changed today is the election is over and the Democrats won? What does that mean, Chucklenut? So there's no need to keep repeating the weak on defense lie anymore? All of a sudden the Democrats are interested in defending the country? Oh, you evil snake. And what do you say now we're going to work together for 2 years to accomplish big objectives for the country? Wow, really? I've never heard Raisin Brain admit so many lies at one time. This is an historic moment after all, isn't it? Huh? This is astonishing. And it goes on. I've got some more for you, but we have a break coming here. This is just unbelievable. You talk about flip-flop, and they called Kerry a flip-flopper because based on lies fed to him by this rapacious neo-Nazi administration, he voted for the war, and then he voted no about the funding, and they call him a flip-flopper. And this evil little twit is standing up there today, flip-flopping all over the place like a dead fish. Oh, there's just so much to be pissed off about tonight. And after tonight, I'm going to let it go. I really am. But what I saw today, while these snakes and liars and cheats and cowards all over the TV talking about how, well, the Democrats didn't win, the Republicans lost, and, oh, let's reach out, and oh, all of a sudden we want to cooperate, just makes me want to throw up blood. So I'm going to get this attitude out tonight. And then I'm going to be a good boy. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't compromise with these sons of bitches if I don't care what was at stake. No! Never!
Approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
Really? Is that what we Democrats wanted, Chuckle Nuts? You cowardly little snake, and now we're going to work with you? I hope we don't. One of the first things Pelosi said is impeachment's off the table. Nancy, it's not about revenge. It's about accountability. It's about violation of the Constitution. So you're not going to push. You're not going to go after. Okay, far be it from me to assume that I know more than the new Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives and the leadership of the Democratic Party. But I'll tell you what. If I were the speaker, as soon as it's legally possible, I would order the House Judiciary Committee to begin the hearings required to introduce articles of impeachment against these monsters. Okay, but it's all right. I'm not going to get into Democrat bashing. Not now. Maybe a little bit later. Not now. Impeachment is off the table. Okay. One of the many, back to Chuckle Nuts, Chicken Hawk Chuckle Nuts, the flip-flopper, the decider-in-chief. Oh, yeah, okay. One of the many lies exposed and admitted to today, this is probably my favorite because it reveals the subtle nature of Rove's deception. The cloak he threw over Bush to sell him to the public as a good guy and a plain talker. Listen, as Bush says he has no idea why people thought his policy in Iraq was stay the course. As if he never once uttered that phrase. Reporter asks about the numerous flip-flops coming out of this administration regarding Iraq. The reporter says, you acknowledge that this is a message election on the war in Iraq. What do you mean when you say it's time for a course correction on Iraq in light of this fact that last week the vice president said last week that it's full speed ahead on Iraq? Which is it?
There were different factors that determined the outcome of different races, but no question, Iraq was on people's minds. And as you have just learned, I am making a change at the Secretary of Defense to bring a fresh perspective as to how to achieve something I think most Americans want, which is a victory. My point is that while we have been adjusting, we will continue to adjust to achieve the objective. And I believe that's what the American people want. Somehow it seeped in their conscience that, you know, my attitude was just simply stay the course. We're constantly looking for fresh perspective.
Oh, my God. Whatever could have given us that erroneous idea, you flip-flopping lying twit? Other than the fact that you and all the neocons on your team kept repeating that Rovian talking point over and over and over and over and over. And then you refused to even consider that things weren't on the right track in Iraq. Going so far as to lie to us last Wednesday and say you had no intention of removing Rumskull. So, gee, yeah, Mr. Bush, how could we possibly have gotten the idea that you were all about staying the course? Where did we get that from? David Letterman? Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? CNN's Suzanne Malveau, kind of a healthy right-winger herself, stepped up to the mic and actually asked Bush about some of Nancy Pelosi's very valid criticisms of Chuckle Nuts before the election. Listen to the depth of Bush's delusion about this election. It's almost as if he actually believes the neocons would win yesterday. Malveau says,
with all due respect, Nancy Pelosi has called you incompetent, a liar, the emperor with no clothes, and as recently as yesterday, dangerous. How will you work with someone who has such little respect for your leadership and who is in third in line to the presidency?
Look, this is a close election. If you look at race by race, it was close. The cumulative effect, however, was not too close. It was a thumping. But nevertheless, the people expect us to work together. That's what they expect.
What?
And as I said in my opening comments, you know, there comes responsibility with victory. And that's what Nancy Pelosi told me this morning. She said in the phone call, she wants to work together, and so do I.
Oh, I see. Responsibility with victory? Are you as whacked as you sound? All of a sudden, you, George W. Bush, care about cutting taxes on the middle class? About raising the minimum wage? About helping kids? Oh, you do? Really? Wow, all it took was the Democrats to get elected before you grew some actual compassion. You just need a thumping to make you even remotely resemble a human being. What now? All of a sudden you've become a real boy after all? And you'll actually do something positive for the American people instead of the special interests who do for you every single day, you unconscious freak, what Monica did for Bill Clinton? Is that what you want us to believe, George? Are you going to go back through all those appointments you made, all those industry freaks who are supposed to govern the agencies that make sure the industries don't kill us? Are you going to go back, George, and change all of that? Are you going to continue with the signing statements that absolutely perverts democracy? Are you going to continue to appoint freaks like Alberto Gonzalez, the torture boy, to a position of absolute power in this government? Is that what you're going to do, George? Is that what you mean about reach out across the aisle? Is that what you mean about Nancy Pelosi cooperating? Oh, my God. You are tonight, you were today, you have been all of your life a disgusting failure, a twit who got put into a position of absolute power by the sycophants around you, the liars, the cheats, the sneaks, and your corporate buddies. Guess what, George? It's over. It's over. So stand up there like you did today, all of Twitter, just absolutely peeing yourself, because all of a sudden, the American people have told you to go to hell. Hard to deal with, isn't it, Chuckle Nuts? We'll be back after the break. I still have some more from this monster. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for sticking around for the second hour. Or if you're just joining us, oh my God, you missed the best part of the show. I'm not going to reiterate what we've already gone through, although we do still have a few more sound bites from this freak today at his press conference. I know there were a couple of them there, but I'm talking about the freak in chief, the decider freak. The flip-flopper, the major flip-flopper. And Rumsfeld, you know, all this talk about cut and run. This guy, Rumsfeld, designs an invasion, designs an occupation. We're approaching 3,000 dead Americans. And depending on what figures you want to believe, 100,000 to 600,000 dead Iraqis. And this evil, evil Rumsfeld cuts and runs. And he leaves all the blood and gore left hanging there. Dead people, injured people, wounded people, children with their parents blown away, parents with their children blown away. And to these bastards, it's just a political move. That's all it is. How many dead? We don't count dead Iraqis. We don't do body counts. And where's Dick? Where's Dick? Where's Dick Cheney? Where is that sneaky, slovenly bastard? Where is he? Bush didn't fire Rummy any more than I did. Bush does what he's told, like a good little bully boy. It was politics. and thousands of dead people, and Rummy can walk away. What about your son or your daughter, your brother, whoever it is that's in Iraq? Can they walk away? Can they cut and run? These evil sons of bitches have been talking and about Democrats who want to disengage us from this horrible occupation as being those who want to cut and run. And what happens today? The chief architect of this death and destruction bails out. Why? Because he can. Because it's politically expedient. This is vile. This is horrifying. Kate writes, where it concerns impeachment, Kate writes, it's not about revenge. To quote the repugs themselves, it's about rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. It's about the Constitution, stupid. It's about accountability. It's about decency and the opinion of the world. And it is about revenge. We, the people, have earned a little revenge. Of course, it's about accountability. Isn't accountability and taking responsibility been the essential lie of these Republican criminals for the past 12 years? Okay. How about it, boys? How about a little responsibility on you? Oh, well, no, we were just kidding. We're talking about Democrats. Back to Chicken Hawk Chucklenuts announcing Rummy's resignation today. How many lies can Bush cram into one press conference? Listen to this deception about Democrats in the war in Iraq. All of a sudden he claims Democrats will support our troops and fight terror. What a difference an election makes, right? The reporter says, speaking about the war, Mr. Bush, during the campaign, two very different viewpoints of the war came out. You spoke a lot about what you saw as the Democratic approach to the war, which you were greatly concerned about. Are you worried that you won't be able to work with the Democrats, or do you feel like, you know, you have to prevail upon them with your viewpoint?
And no question Iraq had something to do with it. And it's tough in a time of war when people see carnage on their television screens. The amazing thing about this election, and which surprised me somewhat, which goes to show I should not try punditry, is that this economy's strong.
What?
And I look forward to working with them. And I truly believe that Congresswoman Pelosi and Harry Reid care just about as much, you know, they care about the security of this country like I do.
What?
They see that no leader in Washington is going to walk away from protecting the country. We have different views on how to do that, but their spirit is such that they want to protect America. That's what I believe. Democrats are going to support our troops just like Republicans will.
Oh, my God! Oh, give me just 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you. I really don't want to blow an artery. Flip-flop? This evil son of a bitch who's been telling America ever since his murderous invasion of a country that did nothing to us, that Democrats don't like the troops, Democrats don't support the troops, Democrats cut and run, Democrats don't care about the security of the country like he does, and now, all of a sudden?
Well, they care about the security of the country like I do. Their spirit is such that they want to protect America, too. Democrats are going to support our troops just like Republicans will.
Can it get more newspeak? Black is white, war with East Asia, Eurasia, flip-flopping than that? Not more than a week ago, he was down here in Crackerville in South Georgia addressing the morons on his campaign tour that a vote for Democrats means you might as well hand the terrorists a nuclear weapon and point it towards the local gun shop and chewing tobacco outlet. The Democrats wanted to lose in Iraq. The pig man, quoted Bush, and underscored that huge lie himself. I know they think we have no memories, but do they also think we have no video discs or videotape, no internets? You filthy, filthy, filthy criminal. So you stand up there today, don't you, huh? Compromise. Reach across the aisle. Yeah, I'll reach across the aisle with handcuffs. You pigs. So realizing that Bush just did a major flippity-floppity contradiction in his claims about Democrats in Iraq, this reporter then follows up by saying, Mr. President, you just said that you truly believe that the Democratic leaders care about the security of this country as much as you do, yet just about every campaign stop you express pretty much the opposite about Democrats being happy if America gets attacked. Looking back at the campaign, sir, do you think that it would be harder to pull the country together after this election by making such partisan attacks about national security?
I do believe they care about the security. I thought they were wrong not making sure our professionals had the tools. And I still believe that. I don't see how you can protect the country unless you give these professionals tools. They just have a different point of view. That doesn't mean they don't want America to get attacked. That's why I said what I said.
Oh, you ignorant little savage, you. You said Democrats were going to be happy if America gets attacked. You and your filthy Republican Party. What do you say here? I thought they were wrong not making sure our professionals had the tools, and I still believe that. Wrong again, chuckle nuts. It was your professionals at the Pentagon who didn't provide the tools, the armored vehicles, and the equipment, and the troop levels, and the weaponry, and the training to get the job done, not the Democrats. You filthy liar.
I don't see how you can protect the country unless you give them the professional tools.
Yeah, neither do I, you cowardly little snake. Why did you and Rumsfeld fight so hard to get them the tools they needed, huh? I don't remember you doing that. I remember you with your snotty-ass comments and Rumsfeld.
Well, you go to war with the army you got, not the army you wish you had.
And then he says that doesn't mean they don't want America to get attacked. Oh, never mind. Why bother to clean up his sentences? This psychopath. Oh, but we're supposed to reach across the aisle now and what? Pat each other on the ass? Grab each other in the crotch and give each other a little heft and lift and say, "Hi, brother." No, I don't think so, George.
Watch while I bring them up. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, I'll tell you part. The chicken crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard. Roll call.
Hey, listen, we've never been stay the course.
We've never been stay the course. All right, one left from Chicken Hawk Chuckle Nuts, the chief flip-flopper, from today's press conference where he announced that the architect of this murderous enterprise in Iraq is cutting and running. I wonder where Rumsfeld will wind up, on the board of directors of some defense offense contractor, right? Maybe Boeing, General Electric. That'd be a good place, wouldn't it? Or maybe one of those French companies like you used to, for whom you used to be a board member, Rumsfeld, when you sold the nuclear reactor equipment to North Korea. I know, maybe a chemical company, so you can sell chemical weapons of mass destruction to somebody like you did with Saddam. He can buy what? Oh, maybe he can buy an eighth house, Kathy's saying into my headphones. I didn't know if you were saying that into my headphones or if you were saying, oh, never mind. Yeah, he's got seven houses, huh? Not bad for a killer. Last one from this press conference, and Karl Rove, media manipulation meltdown for the afternoon, realizing that Bush just made a major flip-floppity contradiction on his claims about Democrats in Iraq. This reporter follows up by saying, Mr. President, you just said that you truly believe that the Democratic leaders care about the security of this country as much as you do. Oh, I already did this one, didn't I? Well, let's do it again. You got it queued up again, Kathy? Let's do this one again. Yeah, just about at every campaign stop, you express pretty much the opposite about Democrats being happy if America gets attacked. Looking back, Mr. President, do you think that it would be harder to pull the country together now?
I do believe they care about the security. I thought they were wrong not making sure our professionals had the tools.
Oh, you
and I still believe
son
that.
Of a bitch.
I don't see how you can protect the country unless you give these professionals tools. They just have a different point of view. That doesn't mean they don't, you know, don't want America to get attacked. That's why I said what I said.
Oh, you have no idea what you said, you little twit. And last one tonight, the ghoul, Rumsfeld. As a light bulb dawns on him that he's no longer the military ruler of the universe. According to press reports, as late as last night, Rumsfeld didn't know his fate. Of course not. Which makes his befuddled comments at today's press conference announcing his replacement even more confusing. Gotta love the careful language Rummy selects to describe Bush in Iraq. Looks like he's not sure how history will record this episode, or at least how history will record Rumsfeld's firing. You got to cut through the rumspeak first and nonsensical statements and perplexing references to Winston Churchill. But if you listen closely, it sounds like the ghoul is pissed.
Mr. President, thank you for your kind words and the wholly unexpected opportunity you provided me to serve in the Department of Defense again. These past years, 6 years, it's been quite a time.
You murderer.
It recalls to mind the statement by Winston Churchill, something to the effect that I have benefited greatly from criticism, and at no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
Oh!
The great respect that I have for your leadership, Mr. President, in this little understood, unfamiliar war, the first war of the 21st century. It is not well known. It was not well understood. It is complex for people to comprehend. And I know with certainty that over time, the contributions you've made will be recorded by history.
And hopefully they'll be recorded in a trial transcript in The Hague. Wow, that's certainly a deliberately vague statement if I ever heard one. What'd he say? Serving as Department of Defense chief these past 6 years, it's been quite a time, you murderous bastard. Do you know how many people are dead and how many more are going to die because of you? Do you know how you've destroyed the U.S. military? Destroyed the reputation of the United States? Give him the Medal of Freedom, George. That's coming next, right? Right after you give him the pardon. Oh, man. All right, that's all the sound we have, and I've pretty much released whatever rage I felt today as I listened to the lineup of these filthy, filthy people all day long. A brief recap of just today's flip-flops, today's lies when we return, and then your calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio.
And I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain.
You know what's hard out here for a beer. When he's trying to get...
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Things and they should got a couple working on the changes for me, but I gotta keep my game tight like Corey.
26 before the hour. This comes to me. It's headlined An Englishman's View of the Election. Hey, Mike, Paul from WeWillNotBeSilenced.com. And by the way, check out that website. There's an amazing video up there. WeWillNotBeSilenced.com. Keep going, dude. For Pelosi to say no impeachment is a betrayal of every voter who has made her Speaker of the House, of every American who voted against Bush. This was a vote for answers, because people are fed up with being lied to. This was a vote for questions to be asked about this administration. This was a vote for these lying demons to be brought to justice. And anything that Pelosi does to veer away from this simple mandate will be seen by the world as a betrayal of the American people. I argued in my blog 2 days ago that the world could count on the American people, quoting from Martin Luther King's Beyond Vietnam speech. Now it is up to the elected politicians to do the will of the people and impeach these demons for treason, genocide, and war crimes. Anything less is a betrayal of everything America and her people stand for. Paul. Yeah, WeWillNotBeSilenced.com. If you're not familiar with that website, I know a lot of you are. Now, I know, you know, Rahm Emanuel is saying, no. Liberals in our party are not going to set the agenda. Okay, fair enough. We have 2 years. I'll tell you what, Rahm, either you will come around, or when you run in your primary next year, you might find a liberal taking your position. So we got the House and the Senate back, and we have it back. The judiciary is still screwed up. The economy is still everything is still screwed up. This was a baby step. This was a repudiation, though, of everything this corrupt Republican Party stands for, up to and including the head decider, Karl Rove. So it's going to take some patience. Malloy counseling patients. Well, not that anybody pays a damn bit of attention to me, and that's the way it should be. But just in my world, in my little tiny world, and the 8 or 9 people who listen to this program every night, yeah, we need some patience. And I know that, and you know that. All right. A brief recap here of just today's flip-flops, today's lies. Rummy stays, Rummy goes. Democrats are aligned with the terrorists and don't care about national security. Democrats care about protecting America. We don't make decisions based on popular political opinion. And then Bush does a 180 on his policies when the Democrats are elected, and his whole administration is crammed into his face like a cream pie. The Dems want to politicize the war. Bush politicizes the war by firing Rumsfeld when the national political winds change direction, and it becomes clear that Rumsfeld is a cut-and-run coward, always has been, always will be. Bush repeats ad nauseum, stay the course, and then claims he never was stay the course. He says he constantly assesses and changes tactics. Oh, bat squeeze, changing tactics for political purposes. That undermines the troops. That undermines the efforts in Iraq. You know, we're going to take the calls right now, but I'd like to hear just one Republican call me tonight and justify the timing of Rumsfeld's firing today. Why today? They don't pay attention to the polls. The only poll that counts is when the voters go... why was Rumsfeld Bush's bright and shiny boy last Wednesday and packing his bags today? And remember, lives are in the balance. American lives, Iraqi lives, Palestinian lives, Israeli lives, Lebanese lives. And these weighty executive decisions will have implications on international relations and American foreign policy for decades to come. So any one of you gutless Republicans want to call and tell me why playing politics with the war and American lives and the reputation of our nation is a good thing? Huh? Here's the number, 800-989-1480. Let's go to the calls. Tiffany is calling from Sparks, Maryland. Tiffany, welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Hello, Tiffany.
Hey, can I say something?
As long as it's not profane.
I won't do that to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, George, this is what a real mandate looks like.
Right.
Hey, listen, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I think there's some really fishy stuff going on in Florida still. And Clint Curtis, you know, it's really strange that the margin was pretty small. And now, according to his blog, there are in some counties or let's say precincts, I think. I don't have it in front of me. There are more Republican votes than there were Republican voters.
Look, in any election contest held in the state of Florida – from now through the foreseeable future is a fraud.
Right.
And it's up to the people of Florida to do something about it. And I don't know how they go about doing something about it short of dragging some of their state legislators by the hair away from their desks out into the streets in Tallahassee and letting them know in no uncertain terms that they would like to have a fair and just system of electing their state representatives and their congressional representatives. Short of that, Tiffany, I don't know what people can do. I have no idea.
Well, I know Curtis is going to do a forensic reconstruction. He came up with a site called Vote Now 2006, and people who voted and candidates can sign up for it, and people who voted for the candidates can go there as well and register their vote so that it creates some sort of a paper record of who really voted.
Well, I hope that works, but the average person in Florida who is not a retiree and who is not mega wealthy, that means about 70% of the population, don't have the time for that, Tiffany. They don't have time to call 800 numbers and write letters of complaint and go to the Board of Elections and be told you don't count, you don't matter. What the voters of Florida, like the voters in every state in the United States, needs is a national voting law, not this Help America Vote Act that deliberately screwed our system.
Yeah.
What we need is standards that apply to all 50 states that say, here's how it's done, and if you deviate, then there are fines and imprisonment. That's what it takes. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be negative. I said this the other night. Normal Americans, that would be Democrats and progressives and liberals, are sick to our stomachs of constantly being told, well, we got to reconstruct that. Well, we have to well, we've got to phone this 800. Well, we have to beg the Congress. Well, we have to sign the online petition. Well, we have to. No, to hell with that.
I know.
To hell with that. We have to have a country that follows its constitution. That's what we need, Tiffany, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, and I heard you the other night talking, you know, about the same thing, and you're so right. It shouldn't be up to us entirely and solely to have to protect elections. It should be a national protocol.
It should be a given. It should be a given that in this country, the most elemental aspect of freedom is the right to go into a voting booth and cast a ballot and then have the damn vote counted. That's all. Tiffany, I appreciate your call. Let me move on. Thanks a lot, dear heart, for checking
in.
Okay,
I love you, Mike.
All right. I love you, too.
Hey, don't forget to gloat, okay? Go into every Republican place you know and put on a big old smile, honey.
All right, I'll do it. Thanks, right. Tiffany. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Checking in from Aurora, Illinois, our bureau chief there, Dr. Marianne. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, Mike. You know, I actually have a really nice story to tell about John Lash, but I just wanted to make one comment about all these A-list type Democrats like Obama who are going around talking about healing and coming together. You know, in South Africa, the commission in South Africa they set up after apartheid to deal with the crap that happened during apartheid, it was called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Right.
And before we have any healing, we need to know what happened. So, you know, yeah, subpoenas are absolutely necessary before this country unifies.
I just hope that the Democratic leadership can figure out a way to do this and do it.
Well, you know, the Democratic leadership is now John Conyers, among others.
That's true.
You know, Henry Waxman. I mean, the Democrats in the House have fought and fought and fought, and some of them have been there for 12 years.
And think of the humiliation the Republicans have put these honorable men and women through.
You know, the hearings that had to be held in the basement. Well, that's a new day dawning, I think. You know, and I have faith in these guys, and they inspire me because, you know, what Conyers and these guys have had to go through in their lives, even, you know, before they got to the Congress. And these guys are tough. They're fighters.
They are.
But anyway, another fighter was...
Marianne, hold on a second.
Sure.
I got to do a break here, and we'll come back and finish up on the other side. This is NoVam Radio. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listen, we've never been stay the course.
We will stay the course until the job is done.
But we will stay the course.
We'll stay the course in Iraq.
And yet we must stay the course.
We're just going to stay the course.
We're going to stay the course in Iraq.
We'll stay the course.
We could only find 8 times where he'd ever use the term stay the course.
There to stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
Have the nerve to stay the course
if we stay the course.
And hence the clarification.
We're there to stay the course.
We stay the course.
We will stay the course.
And we've never been stay the course.
8 times.
We're there to stay the course.
Stay the course and help them succeed.
We stay the course.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
We're going to stay the course.
We must stay the course.
Stay the course.
We stay the course.
These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
The town is sleeping. Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling.
Bye-bye, Republicans.
Vaya.
10 before the hour. Back to Marianne, our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief. All right, where were we, Marianne?
Yeah, well, I was talking about my involvement with the John Lash campaign, and you had him on your show last week, and it was really great to hear him. He was running against Hastert in Illinois' 14th district.
Yeah, we had him on, and he's going to be on again tomorrow.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you, just, you know, from my perspective, I went to his party, and the mood there, even though it was clear that we could quite pull it off, I mean, the mood was just so upbeat. And John made a few very good points. I mean, we forced Hastert to campaign. He was forced to spend $3.5 million on this district.
Is that what he had?
Oh, John, I think he barely raised $250,000.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I went
yeah.
down to his headquarters. It was such a shoestring operation, but with lots of very enthusiastic volunteers, but, you know, you can't go against the Hastert army. And, you know, he is no longer Speaker of the House, and the scuttlebutt is around here that he's going to be resigning. In other words, this
yeah, and you know what I've heard, Marianne? I've heard he's going to resign before he officially loses his position because his retirement is bigger if he resigns as Speaker of the House.
Right. So
what an evil! Oh God! Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Denny was kind of dumber than a bag of hammers. I mean, he was a tool. And
yeah.
you know, we saw that, you know, just how adept he was.
Yeah, he was Tom DeLay's enabler.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 4 weeks ago when the Foley thing came out, you know, now people know why they haven't heard of him, or most people haven't. You know, so, no, he's going to be gone. And when John asked the question if we'd all be willing to do this again, it was to a person there. Oh, yes. And I think I think if he is willing to run in a special election call to replace Hastert, I think the playing field is going to be a bit more level.
I think
he's going to get the attention of the National Party. But it was kind of a funny thing. So we're having a great time at this party. And then we had the big TV screens on. And then Hastert came on. It was MSNBC, and it was Hastert's, quote, victory speech. And we all kind of shut up and listened.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most somber thing I'd ever seen. If you turned off the volume, would have sworn it was a concession speech, you know, done in the midst of an overwhelming, crushing defeat. The only one up on that stage with Denny Hastert was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no one there that could be put in the same picture frame with Denny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's it would be sad if it were so deserved. I mean, so, you know, I think that we may have, I mean, election night isn't over until like maybe sometime mid-April.
That's very true.
You're going to be seeing more from this young guy. He was just.
I hope so.
He is so impressive.
We got to talk to a lot of Democrats who ran for office, an alarming number of whom didn't make it, but made such an impression, I think, on people. Nancy Skinner comes to mind.
Nancy Skinner had she had the endorsement, I believe, of the Detroit Free Press.
Yeah, she came so close to defeating Nolenberg, who I believe is a 6- or 7-term Republican.
Another one who spent multi-million dollars.
Right, and Nancy's
what? $300,000.
And Nancy had to come on this program and ask for small donations. Yeah. It's just astonishing how the system is totally corrupted by the money.
I think it's time for Howard Dean to put a little more muscle behind his 50-state program. I mean, he's got a wealth of these candidates out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rahm Emanuel needs to pipe down.
Yeah, I think he does, too. I really do, Marianne. Hey, listen, thanks for checking
in.
Okay. All right,
later,
I appreciate
Mike.
It. Take care. An email here from Billy Shears about Rahm Emanuel. For Christ's sake, that comment about not being liberals, not letting liberals rule the party, only adds to demonizing the word liberal. What is wrong with these people? Yeah, exactly. The campaign's over, Rahm. You know, you won. There's nothing wrong with the word liberal. It has the same Latin root as the word freedom. And then Angie writes, hi, Mike, Nancy Pelosi is in the position of becoming the next president if Bush and Cheney are impeached. It would look like she was forcing impeachments for personal gain if she was standing there saying she's out for their heads on a platter. By saying she won't be out for their heads is not the same as saying she will block the Democrats or control them. If they want impeachment, she can't stop them and shouldn't and won't. This seems to be a reasonable position for her to take now, specifically to keep from undermining any Democratic moves toward impeachment, which is so richly deserved. At least that's what I think is happening, Angie. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I think being third in line of succession doesn't include impeachment or removal from office. I think it means death of... You know, if a president and vice president are removed by impeachment, I don't think succession plays in. I think it's then up to the House and the Senate to determine who is going to be the new president, vice president. Remember when Spiro Agnew resigned, because he was another Republican criminal. His successor was picked by, was it Nixon who picked Gerald Ford, or was it the U.S. House? I'm not clear on that. But and then when Nixon had to resign, was it Ford or was it the House that picked Rockefeller? So there, for a brief time, the United States of America had a president and a vice president, neither of whom had been elected by anyone except, well, the House members. I believe it's a House. Kind of like Bush and Cheney, only they were elected by even a smaller group. 5 members of the United States Supreme Court. Isn't that's an improvement for the Republicans, getting it down to where 5 people can decide who's going to lead the country into hell. And then, of course, you know what happened to Rockefeller. He was boinking his secretary in the office and had a heart attack. Oh, and died. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. Your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It's 7 minutes past the hour. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio. One more email here, then back to your phone calls. This is from Prairie 2. Hey, Mike, I hate to rain on the victory party, but there is a big fat neocon floating in the punch bowl. If all Speaker Pelosi does is deliver her campaign promises, we will still have lost. Bush will probably give ground on any number of issues, even Iraq, but continue to rob the middle class. Unless Congress cracks down on the corporate fascists and takes our country back from them, we will be no better off tomorrow than we were before the election. If the Democrats in Congress don't get that we are at war with these criminals, then we have only postponed the end of our democracy. People out here in the flyover states get this and will support the Democrats. The Republicans lost seats that weren't considered to be in play to Democratic candidates who were never expected to win. If the Republicans hadn't cheated so heavily, the blowout would have been huge. The Democrats have been handed a mandate, if only they are smart enough to realize it. Well, I agree with that. I really do. What is at stake here is not the survival of a certain wing of the Democratic Party. What is at stake here is the survival of this Democratic Republic. And if the people of the United States did not speak last night, even over the din and the clang and the clamor of having votes stolen and people turned away from the polls and 2 million removed from the voter list because of this abominable Help America Vote Act. If that didn't come through loud and clear to the Democratic Party leadership, then I don't know what the hell it's going to take. Then perhaps this is just a 2 year hiatus before the real bomb falls and this country goes straight into fascism. Now, I don't think Henry Waxman feels that way. And I don't think John Conyers feels that way. And there are a number of Democrats. I don't think Dennis Kucinich feels that way. I could go right down the list. So maybe Angie's right. Maybe it has nothing to do with Pelosi. Maybe it has to do with the Democrats who will now be in positions of power, subpoena power, to force these evil bastards to speak. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe if the truth comes out, the American public will demand their removal. So I counsel myself. I don't counsel anyone else. I counsel myself to be patient. To be patient. Christ, I've been patient for 6 years, or 12 years. Why not, another however long it takes? All right, back to your phone calls here. Bob is calling from North Dakota. Bob, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on, Bob.
Sorry, Mike. I was just biting on a piece of chicken.
Oh, well, let me put you on hold.
No. That's okay. I need to speak to my... Mike Molloy.
Yeah, okay, well, go ahead, Bob.
Okay.
All right, Bob, thanks. Let me move on. Bob, I'm sorry. Please remove the phone call. Bob, I'm sorry. I can't dick around like that, okay? If you want to be on the program, I'd like you to be on the program. Don't come on the program with a mouthful of chicken. And then when I say, let's talk, don't give me this half drunk sound. I don't know if you're drunk or sober. I don't know. You may be diabetic. I have no idea, but don't do that. Okay. I just don't want that done. Barbara is calling from Cave Creek, Arizona. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, I will be concise. The Gates hearings of September 20th, 1991, a little paragraph from the New York Times, Michael Wines. The Senate Intelligence Committee produced new evidence today suggesting that Robert M. Gates, nominated to be Director of Central Intelligence, was warned earlier, more frequently, and in more detail than he acknowledged about key aspects of the Iran-Contra affair. The evidence in statements and new testimony suggests that Mr. Gates may have been advised before August 1986 that profits from the arms sales to Iran might have been diverted to Nicaraguan rebels.
Yeah.
The Gates hearings, you have to read the Gates hearings. We've got to get, and the reason why Macaca is conceding and all these guys, because they want to get in this hearing before the new Congress gets in their seats. They want this guy in so they can get their, the last, this is their last, he's the guy. He and Baker are the brains behind Bush's brains. These are the guys calling the shots.
Well, I've got a whole file here. Everybody from Robert Perry to Elizabeth Holtzman to Jason Leopold on this Gates thug, and I remember. I was doing radio when
it was right after the 91 war, so a lot of people weren't paying attention because they were so relieved that, you know, this was in September. So, you know, the whole country was like, you know, give me a drink, you know.
right, exactly.
And I think I know why Pelosi may not, when a Democrat gets impeached, he stays in office and fights. When a Republican gets impeached, they first get rid of their vice president, then they resign, so they can have somebody who they want to run next time come from a strong point of being president while they're running for president. So it wouldn't be wise for the Democrats to have a new Republican president who looks good running things in 08.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, this whole thing is so outrageous that we have to sit here and really get our minds around what these evil people have done.
Well, they strategize everything. Everything's a strategy. I mean, they don't give up. If they strategize everything. I mean, why did they not get rid of Bill Clinton in the Senate? Because they didn't want Gore to run as president.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. All right, Barbara, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. You take care. We'll talk again.
Sure, we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California. Hey, Sanchez.
Much love to you, Mike, and to Kathy and to all the family.
Well, back at you.
Hey, I've got a bunch of points here, and I'm going to make them real quick because you probably have a million phone calls to get to tonight. The Democrats at this point, just to recycle what Bush said after he was reelected or quote-unquote reelected,
right,
he has capital, and he intends to spend it. The Democrats at this point have the same capital. They have, to quote what Reagan said when he got into office, a mandate. And that mandate is to get everything straightened out. We want to see hearings. We want John Conyers to hold proper hearings, not in some damn little dust-lated basement, but holding
right,
proper hearings on the Downing Street memo. We want to see the reconstruction, the proper reconstruction of Katrina-ravaged areas. I want Fitzpatrick to hold hearings on the Valerie Plame leak. And I want to see Karl Rove as the next little piggy to get fired or marched out of there, because he's the next to go. You notice at the press conference this morning how quickly Bush burned him? Did you hear that little comment he made?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah.
I laughed. I cheered. I don't know if you watched That 70s Soap Show, but whenever they catch each other, they go, burn! That was the first thing out of my mouth. I said, burn. I have a feeling that's going to be my prediction. He's going to be the next to go. But these Democrats, they have capital, and they damn well better not waste it.
I hear you. Thanks, Sanchez.
Sure thing,
I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thank you. Yeah. All right, we got a break coming here, so I'm not going to take Ellen right now. We'll come back and get Ellen in San Francisco listening on the Quake. Wes is calling from Washington. Dean in Connecticut. Gordon in Oklahoma. And we have an open line. We have two open lines. Do you want to get in tonight? This is the time to do it. 800-989-1480 is the phone number. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
You know that neocons have told you lies. When they get caught, they give you 2 cents out of five. They don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in a ride. How they gonna die? Gasoline.
It's like earning capital.
I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
End Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Mark Perkel, who is the he's the founder of the Church of Reality. Here's an email from Mark. It says, liberals put down Rush Limbaugh, but they should give credit where credit is due. If not for Rush Limbaugh mocking Michael J. Fox's Parkinson's disease, Claire McCaskill would never have won her Senate race in Missouri. And if not for that win, the Democrats wouldn't control the Senate. So on behalf of all of us liberals, Rush, I want to say to you, thank you, Rush, for giving us San Francisco liberals control of the Senate. That's a good point. That filthy Limbaugh today, though, I mean, my God, you know, on his website where he wrote, I'm sick of carrying water for the people. You know, who in the hell does this overpaid, overfed Nazi think he is, huh? All right, back to your phone calls. Ellen is calling from San Francisco, listening on the Quake. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, good golly, Miss Molly. Welcome back to the Quake.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm just so glad to be back on the air in San Francisco. I can hardly stand it.
I know. We were schwitzing when you left. Listen, I'll be concise, and I miss Kathy's little intros there. But I got to tell you, the party line in the Bay Area is for Nancy Pelosi and company.
Yeah.
Not to go for the jugular yet. Now, I am a cynic. I mean, you know, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, well,
let's just take a few days, and, you know, because, you know, we got to have a kissy face huggy bear with these bastards. and when we get done, you know, with the kissy face huggy bear, I know, folks, the wires have been hot all over the Bay Area today with a lot of who, what.
Right.
And people who are in the offices of the politicians get it. We're supposed to get it with the compromise number for a little while. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I really do. I don't think the country could stand the removal from office of these two criminals right now, because we have so many areas of governance that the Bush crime family has totally screwed.
Forget about habeas corpus. I mean, thing like that.
Everything has just.
I mean, every civil liberty. You know, this phone call is being recorded. You know, my. You know, I give out my thing. It's called NSA.com. You know.
I hear you, but I do agree. There's not a lot that can be done right now, Ellen. The Democrat. I just wish that Pelosi and Rahm Emanuel and the rest of these people would just shut up, you know, just quit saying we're not going to do this. Quit saying the party is not going to be run by the liberals. Just drop it. The election has been won. The American people have said no, hell no, double hell no to the Bush crime family. Finally, in such numbers, it overcame all the cheating and the fraud and the deception. So if the Democrats right now, the Democratic leaders and the people who constructed this this victory, and that includes Rahm Emanuel, it includes Pelosi, it includes Howard Dean and all the rest of these people, all they have to do right now is just shut up. Don't say what they're not going to do. Right? Can we agree on that?
Yes, we can agree on that. And I'd even taken a Khrushchev shoe and zapped Nancy Pelosi over the head. And if she had just said just once, it's not fair. But the party line is don't go for the jugular yet.
Well, that it makes sense. It makes sense. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ellen. Thanks for checking in. All right. I appreciate your call. Now, I mean that. I really do agree with that. I just don't want, and I guess this is my fear, that the Democratic Party leadership that has always been more humane, more able to reconcile, more willing to compromise and adjust, and in other words, more willing and able to govern, that somehow the crimes committed against this country and the Constitution and the American people and the Iraqi people and God knows who else by the Bush administration will somehow be swept under the rug. And like Marianne said, there's got to be truth before there can be reconciliation. There's got to be justice before there can be peace. There's got to be honesty before there can be dialogue. I mean, these are just essential, elemental facts of how a society conducts itself. So I hope that happens. I hope that happens. All right? We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You freaking liar. The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe. Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
You've lied to us, you freaking liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie, you freaking liar, you freaking liar.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. Was it Ellen that just called in from San Francisco? Okay, and I really respect what she had to say. Paul emails from San Francisco, says that Ellen's wrong, Mike. We want war crimes charges. Well, both Paul and Ellen and I, all three of us, can be right. It just, we've got to go slow, that's all. All right, back to your phone calls. Wes is calling from University Place in the state of Washington. Wes, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. Let's get Wes, we'll have Wes up here in just a second. Wes, there we are. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Mike, good to hear you back on the airwaves.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
You bet. When are you going to get back on KPTK 1090 in Seattle?
Soon.
Good. Good news. I was responding to your wondering how they replaced Spiro Agnew in the Nixon administration.
Right.
And you thought maybe it was a legislative replacement, but it was my understanding, and I might be wrong, you might have to look this up, George Bush Sr., George H.W. Bush at the time was the head of the Republican National Committee.
Uh-huh.
And he was instrumental in getting Gerry Ford, a moderate Republican representative from Omaha.
No, I think he's from Michigan.
Was he from Michigan?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, he was born in Omaha. That was my mistake then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so he was pretty moderate, and he looked like he would be a good shoe-in, and then later on he was elected as president. So, and he pardoned Nixon as well. So I thought that might be something that would be in an archive of the Nation magazine.
I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's there, Wes.
Yeah, and furthermore on this, I heard Ken Melman last night of the Republican National Committee going on about how, well, you know, this is before all the numbers were coming in. It might have been in the morning. He said that he thought that, you know, exit polls weren't very accurate and don't pay any attention to those. And I thought that was an interesting comment.
Melman, who I just wish would come out and declare his come out of the closet. That would make things a little bit easier for Melman.
Yeah,
he would be less of a freak than being the closeted gay man that he is and screwing everything up. But Melman, as most people in the Republican Party leadership, wanted to use any method or means possible to convince the American public that there was no chance that the Democrats and normal people in this country were going to slap Bush's face the way he got slapped. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that Melman said what he said. I just wish that everybody in the Republican Party who happens to be gay, look, folks, look, guys, it's not a bad thing. It's okay to be homosexual no matter what you've been telling your constituents. Come out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Face reality. Stop the madness.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the country will be much healthier when these people do that.
I believe so, too.
Oh, my God. And Melman is just a number one on the list of Republican Party gay men. Look, the Republican Party is no different from the military, which is no different from academia, which is no different from the business world, which is no different from the clergy. A certain percentage of people are exclusively or not exclusively homosexual. Come on, Ken. Step out. Be honest.
Right. There might not be. There might not be as much cruelty in their
If they
would come out.
And maybe if they would just declare who they truly are and stop the deception, they could stop these evangelical freaks from trying to build their power base on the backs of people who happen to be gay.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, I get so tired of this. I'm sorry, Wes.
Oh,
I'm
it's just, all right. I'm just going off my rocker on these people tonight. Hypocrisy, then. It's
the
end result, you know. They chose their hypocrisy.
That's what it is. All right,
Wes. Cabin Republicans, you know, they know this too, but they're just willing to march along in line until they get their little.
I just don't get that. That's like sheep going to the slaughter who congratulate the people who stick the knife in their neck when they walk up the ramp into the slaughterhouse. Wes,
yeah.
I got to move on. Thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thanks a lot. This is from Rick, who's listening on the Quake also. Anyone calling Nancy Pelosi an arch-liberal clearly knows nothing of politics in Northern California. Fact is, she owes her career to the Republicans. Why? Because Republicans, who are only about 17% of the registered voters in San Francisco, can provide the majority needed to win an election. Pelosi won her first congressional race because of them. Willie Brown won his second mayoral term because of them. Gavin Newsom, our current mayor, owes his ass to them. Clearly, Rick writes, to be a star in the Northern California Democratic constellation, you have to kiss the ring of the local Republican Party. Okay, see, I don't know. I can tell you about Georgia politics. And by the way, there's one thing I want to say about Georgia politics. We had a really decent man here who was running for governor against Sonny Perdue. His name was Mark Taylor, a Democrat. And Mark Taylor ran the worst campaign I have ever seen. And as a result, you know, once again, Mark Taylor, the Democratic candidate for governor here in Georgia, didn't learn from what happened to Max Cleland. Didn't learn from what has happened to every single Democrat who has tried to align themselves with the conservative wing of the Democratic Party here in the South. If you want a conservative, you're going to vote for these mouth-breathing Republicans. What Mark Taylor should have done was label himself as an absolute liberal Democrat, and he might have had a chance, but he didn't do it. Of course, on the other hand, not to be hard on Mark Taylor, on the other hand, I don't know if a Democrat can ever win anything in the South anymore. This part of the country is just I don't know, it's going incestuous in its right wingness. It's incredible down here. You want to have your brain washed? Come to the South. Anywhere in the South, I don't care. The Atlanta area, when you're in the city of Atlanta, if you're in the 4th or 5th Congressional District, which makes up most of the city of Atlanta, there's some sanity. But once you get outside of that, you talk about redneck Crackerville. And the weird part of it is so many people, the 5 million people that make up the greater Atlanta area now, 95% of them are not from here. They're from other parts of the country. And they transferred here because their right-wing companies moved here. And their politics are right-wing. And their attitudes are right-wing. This is Nazi haven down here in the South, especially around Atlanta. You know, when you hear people talk about the progressive politics of Atlanta, they're talking about a very small geographic area and maybe 400,000 people. The rest of this state is about as red and as violently right-wing as it could possibly be. Jesus. Now, I've got to share this with you. This is from George in Alhambra, California, and we've gotten so many of these, and I'm reading this for a specific reason. Here's what it says. Hey, Mike, I'm just tuning in tonight and don't know if this has already been covered, but the progressives owe this election to people like you and Kathy, as well as other progressive talk show hosts such as Hartman and Peter Werby and Peter B. Collins and Bill Press and Keith Olbermann, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's no voice in the media for us, and you guys carried the day. You kicked the living crap out of Hannity, O'Reilly, Limbaugh, Wiener, and the hundreds of stations across America who continued to prop up this Republican regime. When they cut the celebration pie, it is you progressive talk show hosts that deserve the biggest slice. I hope you read it on the air because you deserve it. Thanks a million. George, you know, happy. You know, I've said before, I have a hard time with compliments or being credited with anything. I'm one person out of 300 million. We get together on this program at night, I and my 10, 15, 20 listeners, and we talk and we bitch and complain. We don't offer solutions. We criticize. We kick ass. We try to convince ourselves to wake up, come out of the ether, yada, yada, yada. On the other hand, there's some truth to what George says. People like Peter Werby and Tom Hartman. People like Bill Press and Peter B. Collins. People like Sam Cedar and Randy Rhodes on Air America. People like Rachel Maddow. And the list goes on Air America. The list goes on and on and on. There is a collection. And Keith Olbermann, yes, on television, one of the few who takes the kind of stand, if not the only one. Let me rephrase it. The only person on television who takes the stand in the news departments that Keith Olbermann takes. I'll accept for some credit, not for being an agent of change, but being a place where people can come together every night for 3 hours and sit here and say, you know, this sucks and we got to change it. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Ten before the hour. If you're listening online or via KPHX, and just heard that commercial or that promo or not promo that PSA, I guess is what it is, from BuzzFlash and KPHX about if you're a Christian, leave Christ out of it. That is a wonderful, wonderful spot. Whoever put that together, my hat is off to you. Kim writes in from Bakersfield, California. She says, I can't get through on the phone. I so agree with what you're saying tonight. Take a line from the Dixie Chicks. I'm not ready to make nice. That should be our attitude. I already emailed Nancy Pelosi about her, quote, impeachment is off the table, end quote, comment. That is BS. They have a constitutional she didn't say BS. They have a constitutional duty to draw up articles of impeachment if the president has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. If they ignore this duty for political reasons, they have violated their constitutional duty, just as the Republicans did. I'm a lawyer. I apply facts to statutes every day. Bush and his cohort should be impeached. This from pure legal analysis. Kim in Bakersfield. Yeah, I truly, truly, truly agree with that. I mean, when you think what happened in this country in when was it, 1999, 1998, when they went after Clinton. Oh, my God. When these Republican cretins, especially from the House, when they marched across the Capitol Rotunda, how many were there? 11, 12, 13? Bob Barr and Tom DeLay and who else? I just there they marched and they got into the Senate to present their case to the senators for trial. And Jesus, God in heaven, you would have think that Clinton had murdered 600,000 Iraqis from the way they were talking. If he lied in his deposition, okay, isn't that what an honorable man does when he dishonors his own marriage? Or something like that. These filthy pigs. And then we have this criminal enterprise. And we have people say, well, now, let's not talk about impeachment. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm certainly willing to go along with that, even though I think it is a hideous mistake. And I agree with Kim, it is as illegal to let this son of a bitch have the free pass as it is to have committed the crimes to begin with. What do we do with someone who robs a 7-Eleven and gets caught? And has a history of being a criminal. We send them to jail. Rumsfeld has a history of being a criminal. So does Cheney. My God, what they perpetrated on this country and Central America and Africa and Central Europe and the Middle East. What does it take? What do they have to do? Oh, I know. That's right. If Rumsfeld is caught with an 18-year-old boy in his bed, then he's toast. But if he's responsible for the deaths of 600,000 Iraqis and damn near 3,000 Americans, oh, well, I'll tell you what, you have to resign now. Bye-bye. Go to one of your seven houses, Rummy. It's okay. You're in your 70s. Time to take a break. Spend some of your money, you filthy pig. You filthy Republican Nazi pig. You murderer. So please, Nancy, please, Rom, put a cork in it. Go about the business now of trying to repair the horrendous damage that these thugs have done to this country. But don't tell us impeachment's off the table. And Rahm Emanuel, shut the hell up about liberals. It's liberals that put you in office, buddy. I only speak for myself, but I hope the other progressive and liberal talk show hosts, like Sam, like Randy, like Peter B., like Peter Werby, like Laura Flanders, like Tom Hartman, and the list goes on and on. I hope that these liberal and progressive talk show hosts will keep the pressure on the Democratic Party. We know what the Democratic Party is. We know what has become of the Democratic Party. We also understand how important it was to get these rapacious murderers out of office. We've done that. Now it's time for the Democratic Party to be the Democratic Party. For Christ's sake, don't be Republican light. Don't do it to us. Because we'll take you out too. And by we, I'm not talking about this little clique of talk show hosts. I'm talking about the American public. The voting public. So Howard and Rahm and Nancy and the rest of you folks who are now in positions of power, don't misuse it. Don't misuse it. We gave it to you. By Christ, we'll take it away from you. Don't misuse it. This country has been run by criminals for the past 12 years and especially the past six. Fulfill your constitutional duty. Do what you are charged with doing by the United States Constitution, Democrats, or your retaste of power will be very short-lived. Trust me. Trust me. Not because I'm a talk show host, but because I'm a voter. Because I'm a Democrat. Because I'm a liberal. Almost forgot. Thanks to our crew in Phoenix, Ian Huff, who engineered the program tonight, Billy Foster, who entered your calls, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, White Rose Society. And don't forget, podcasting and downloads of this program now available at NovaMradio.com. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I do appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. And you know what I'm talking about. Keep it lit. The Torch. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.